Welcome to Life Lab with David Ponder and Zach Schaefer. We are the podcast of experience experiments.
We give you those experiments via change challenges at the end of each episode.
We created this podcast because we wanted to talk about important topics that can help us all live meaningful lives.
You might agree with what we have to say, or you might disagree. But the point there is that you get something new to think about.
There's no edits and no gimmicks. Our entire point is to help you take action and live a better life.
You only get one life to live, so you may as well make the most of it. Hello, and welcome to Life Lab. I'm David Ponder.
I'm Zach Schaefer.
Today we are talking about a topic that, as only some of us can do, can make controversial. Really, I think it's pretty much just cut and dried. It is what it is. People think about it as something that's, you know, inevitable or a necessity if you want to be a upstanding member of society in today. And we're talking about something that moves things forward, gets things done, you know, the achievable, makes things achievable, definable, and achievable. It's like, that's got to be the foundation of hard work, right? Hard work. It's an American value, and it leads to progress.
So progress is what we're talking about. And I disagree. I think it can get real controversial real quick, because all you got to do is talk about it in terms of politics. Conservatives are usually against progress. They want to conserve what they've created and not keep moving forward. So, I mean, we can talk about that later, but I'm just saying
that's an easy way.
Progressives is a whole label in the political sphere, and the root word of that is progress. So,
yeah. Well, I think let's introduce it with a definition. I think that'd be an important thing to do. This one that I like, first thing that comes up when you Google it, forward or onward movement toward a destination.
Yeah, I like that.
I think it's important because it introduces the idea of a destination, a goal. And you brought up something. You brought up politics. That's a good one. I was thinking, my thoughts immediately went to religion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there are it's weird because I think there's a conflict there and there are differing narratives between them. So let's focus in on yours. You brought up
first. I mean, it's not mine. I didn't.
Well, you brought up politics. Let's talk about politics.
I was only bringing it up progress. To prove you wrong that this can't be controversial.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, it was something I was going to touch on later. But I mean, if you want to talk it, I guess we can. The way that I had thought about it was somebody who's if you want to take the label progressive, they're always looking for more, the next thing. Let's keep it moving forward. Conservative, as the nature of the term, is I have what I need. I want to preserve and protect and conserve the foundational life I've created. Those two things are antithetical.
The idea of change versus status quo.
Yeah, I don't think conservatives would frame it that way, but that could be one way to frame it, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense. It's an interesting thing. The reason I went to religion was because when I think about progress, my mind goes back to what we've learned and talked about in the past as one of the elements that we consider a foundation of happiness, right? We've talked about how if you start the day and you're building a fence and it's 5 feet long and it's 10 feet long when you go to bed, you feel good about that, right? So there's something fulfilling to the human nature about progress.
Yeah, I define it as 1 foot in front of the other. That's, to me, the easiest definition of progress. Just keep moving forward. Forward movement, 1 foot in front of the other, that's progress.
And when we've talked about it in the happiness episodes, it's just been like, well, yeah, that's true. Like, and I know it to be true based on my personal experience. But as I started thinking through it as a standalone topic, I started to question.
Yeah, like, why is that true? Because it's still like forward movement. That's implying that you're moving towards something positive in that general direction.
That's right.
And that's where conservatives, I think, would say they disagree with that general direction for which other groups, progressive groups, are moving.
It's the idea of, okay, so goal setting.
It values. Values.
And maybe I don't share that goal. Maybe I don't want that
exactly,
fence.
That value.
Right?
They don't value some of those things.
Yeah, so progress towards something, and then it's like questioning what that towards it is. So I'll say that's one thing that I believe is a problem about just
always,
you know,
progress.
Loving the idea of progress for progress' sake. Another problem, and I'll tie this back to, I'll introduce what I was thinking about religion now, is the idea that we are in some linear, that life is a linear thing. Like, time is linear. It is, everything is progressing toward an end, and progress is just one step closer toward that end, which is antithetical to the idea. So that's like the Judeo-Christian thought, right? Everything's progressing toward the second coming of Christ, and that's
or heaven.
Yeah, or heaven, whatever it is, the goal, and we're just getting closer and closer to that moment. Versus the idea of like some Eastern religions of the infinite, right?
It's more circular.
Yeah, and if you think about the like even the symbol for infinity, there is no beginning and there is no end for it, right? It's just a loop. So what's progress there, right?
Well, yeah. I just think you're contextualizing it more, and that there is no, well, clearly Eastern approach to progress, it will be different than a Western approach to progress, just like everything we've talked about on the show is from a Western perspective.
Yep, that's true.
Because that's who we are.
Well, and I'll tie that into my final, you know, thought, and we can dig into each one of these concepts more, but my final thought about that to close that loop is that, I think we would probably both agree, if we're talking about Western values, religion, you know, societal notions, then versus Eastern ones, then you talk about nature. Like, to me, nature and the universe, everything tends to move toward chaos, right?
Yeah, entropy.
Like
system naturally moves towards chaos unless acted upon.
So it's almost like our idea of progress. So if that's what the universe and nature naturally do, and humans are satisfied by the opposite, right? By order, by building order, by making progress.
Most humans.
Yeah.
Not all.
Yeah. Well, and like I'm saying, I'm tying this back to what we were talking about in happiness, where we were like, oh, well, that's just a piece of happiness. To be a happy human, you want to make progress in your day, right? Well, are you just fighting the inevitable? Are you just moving against nature and the universe, fighting entropy, and that's our progress?
Maybe you always talk about the hive. What are we here for? Maybe that's it. We're here to fight against nature and see how long we can proliferate our species.
God, it seems like it, doesn't it? Like, okay, so I wanted to stretch that out and like take each little piece a little bit at a time and build toward that. But there it is. Boom. Those are my ideas. Like, and obviously, we've got a lot more time.
Well, there's all kinds of progress, though. You can have task progress.
Yep.
So progress on a task or work. Social progress. Again, that's where a lot of conservatives will disagree with the values that are going on there. Financial progress. Emotional progress. Spiritual progress. Biological progress. If you meet a 30-year-old man who just gets drunk 6-7 days a week, you know, and doesn't take responsibility for his actions, he hasn't made as much emotional progress, maybe, as some of the counterparts around him. Or maybe he's got, you know, an alcoholic and he's got a disease and an issue. But there's all different types of progress. My question is, two questions. Is, when is enough enough of something? And then, is more always better? I was speaking to a group of CEOs yesterday, and he made just offhandedly the comment, you know, well, more is always better. I just distinctly disagree with that. And I don't know, the way he was using it, I agreed with it. But there's always opportunity costs for every decision we're making. And more is not always better.
I love that idea.
In a lot of ways.
I love that idea.
And especially when we choose work. Yeah, more is better with that financial aspect, potentially. But it's sacrificing something else, your time with other people or your time focused inwardly, spiritually, emotionally, something's given.
Yeah, so when we were getting ready for this and I was trying to figure out my ideas, tie them together, did a bit of Googling, and an article about Buddhism and the idea of progress came up. And one of the things it said was that for every temporary improvement in one area, we can point to a corresponding shrinkage in another area, right? Yep. And this one puts its own spin on it. But like so it's basically saying, yeah, we're working to improve the economy and, you know, the values that we hold in Western society. But you can point to shrinkage in moral or spiritual capacity by not focusing on those things enough, because too much of our time and effort is being focused toward, you know, this other area. And okay. You know, I think what you said there is it's opportunity cost.
Yeah.
And I think it's true. Like, you can't have everything all the time.
I tell Claudia already, you ask her, you can't have everything, but you can have anything. So you can have anything you want, but you can't have everything. And I stole that from Ray Dalio. It's part, one of his things he taught his kids in his book Principles. And it's true. I 100% believe that. You can have anything you want in this life, but you can't have everything. And you got to focus and make those choices. As Bob Krizek said, with every decision you make, you got to ask yourself, what did I get and what did I give up? Because you're always giving up something. And if you don't think about it, well, then that's your fault. That's a consequence you have to deal with. And with progress on wherever it is, I want to be a better father and husband. Okay. Something's gonna give, and it's probably business. I'm not going to be going out as many networking. I'm going to miss out on business development opportunities. And you just emotional progression would then just say, well, that's the choice I made, and I have to deal with that, rather than play the victim and, oh, well, now I have to hang out with the family, and, oh, I'm missing a business. That's not progress emotionally.
Man, that is wise, what you just said.
Well, I got my wise bit in for the day. I'm done. I'll see you later.
Most people don't.
And I'm not saying, just so everybody knows, I'm not saying I've got that on lockdown by any means. I'm just talking generally how people try to make sense of it. I love the Buddhist stuff, though, because they're all about causes and conditions. A cause for one thing is a condition for the next action. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And so what about progress? Let's give a hypothetical. A guy in his early 20s is drunk, goes out driving, kills a family, goes to prison 10, 15 years, gets out of prison, and that experience has changed his life, and he goes on to change thousands of people's lives, sharing his story and working in communities and trying to help people beat alcohol addiction. Was killing that family progress?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Right. And so that's where people get caught up. In Buddhism, they'd say, well, that's just part. He wouldn't have made that progress had that first condition not occurred.
Which absolutely, yeah.
Right. And it's tough for us to think of things that way.
There's a good, there's an interesting, so I watched a movie on a plane last night.
Snakes?
It wasn't about snakes. It was about AI robots. It's called I Am Mother. The idea of it, have you heard about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the idea of it is that this, you know, AI is raising humans to repopulate the Earth after some big war. And so the robot is a mother, and the daughter doesn't know anything other than having
a robot mother,
which is it's an interesting concept. And the movie goes somewhere with it that's pretty interesting, but the core tenet of the movie is what you exactly said. Like, what is progress? What is better?
Yeah, and I am somebody who enough usually isn't enough for me. I have very high standards, which is why I can be difficult. And when I reach a goal, I have a problem enjoying the moment. It's on to the next thing, on to the next thing. And that's something I constantly work on. That's a flaw of mine, being present and staying there and enjoying, getting some fulfillment out of a goal I set and achieving it. Because it's just, okay, what's next? What's next? And that's how I'm hardwired. And I like that. But again, sometimes enough is enough. And just be in the moment, especially around the holidays. Just soak it in. Disconnect. Set down the phone. Don't compare to what other people are doing. Just have that family time and enjoy your time on planet Earth
at that second with people, and don't be worried about what movement is. Just be in the room.
Dude, you're so lazy.
I know.
What are you talking about?
Dave,
spreading these and lazy
ideas. No one can see Dave right now, but we're in my sunroom, and he's got a hand up because the sun is just beating him in the face. So I'm going to fix this for him.
I just think it's hilarious what you said there because, God, it's absolutely true. But if you look at the people that we consider heroes in America today, they are the antithesis of that. They are wired exactly like you. Like you said, like, right? Like, on to the next. Do the next thing. Get the next
working
thing
on
done.
Christmas morning. Yes. Getting a couple more hours
I worked
in.
100 hours.
And I do. I feel good when I do that.
Yeah. So this brings up another thing that I wanted to bring up. Like, if we're talking about progress, right, as this core tenet to happiness, because we live in Western society and we've just eaten that or we've drank that Kool-Aid, then is it also an addiction?
Yeah. For me, it is.
Hell yeah.
For me, it is.
Yeah.
Okay, it's progress. Let's talk about there's an opposite. So I came across a quote, I don't know, probably some TED Talk speaker or something, like, you know, it's a problem in our society when people talk about – they were basically saying when people talk about working lots of hours and working hard as a badge of honor. Man, I disagree 100% with those people. Now, if you're doing that and it's causing havoc in your life – personally and socially and all those other things we talked about, well, then, yeah, obviously that's a problem. But if you're making that choice, you're aware of the consequences, the opportunity costs, it's helping you achieve your goals, and you're getting positive fulfillment, it's helping you fulfill other people's lives close to you positively, that fucking quote's dead on. I do work on every holiday. Now I don't have to put it out on LinkedIn and look at me, world, I'm working. I do it because I know how I am mentally. When I get up early and get 2 hours in before the family's gone, I'm a better person to be around for them. I'm cheery on Christmas if I get work in early. You know what I'm saying? If not, then I'm not present because I'm like, crap, I could have done this. I could have got this out. Here's what I could have accomplished. And so I'm in the room, but I'm not present because I didn't do what I'm hardwired to do, which is knock stuff out early.
Man, so that has become me as an adult. I have that. I share that with you as an adult. When we were young, I did not have that at all.
Yeah.
I did not have that addiction. I would be perfectly happy on a day where I didn't do anything constructive. I could just enjoy the moment. And I've lost that as an adult. And I don't know whether it's, you know, the values that are, you know, have been beaten into my head by our Western society and in American today, or maybe it's just naturally in me and it came out as I've gotten older. I don't know what it is, but that has happened to me where I know that's always been a part of you. At least it seems to have always been a part of you.
When you say that, just so I'm clear what you're referring to.
That drive.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
The need to fulfill your drive, right?
Yeah, yeah. Just tasks, goals, move towards it, yeah. get something, even if it's small, cross it off the list.
Now, that's not to say that's never – that's not been any part of me.
Yeah, of course not.
But
– not at the same speed. Your speed's increased.
And progress for the sake of progress, right? We talk about other values that I had, like curiosity and, you know, getting joy out of exploration,
mm-hmm.
right? Like learning just for the sake of learning, doing just for the sake of doing versus doing for the sake of the completion of the task, right? Like,
see, I'm not about the completion. I'm about the hunt. I want the hunt. I don't care about the kill. When I get a big check come across, you know, you've seen it. It's just like, oh yeah, that hit today. Whoop-de-doo. Oh, who can I go meet today? What connection can I make? What can I discuss? Like, I am 100% about the hunt. And there's actually, we've probably talked about this, but it's been a long time because I can't recall when. I have something that Nietzsche, the philosopher, it's not Nietzsche, people, it's Nietzsche, that he talked about called the melancholy of completion. And I know millions of people have the same thing. That means you're about the hunt, folks. You like the work, the grittiness, the trenches, figuring out the problems. And once you solve one, it's like, it's let down. You get to the end of a song, a movie you like, damn, let down. Emotions drop. So that's why I like to have lots of projects going, because I'm constantly in progress, in motion somewhere, because I know I have the melancholy of completion. My wife hates it because I turn every single movie or show off
just a little bit before it ends, and it just it pisses her off so much.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That's... If I'm in control of the remote, and she knows why, and she doesn't care, she's just like, this is so stupid.
That's hilarious.
Which then that interaction brings me a little joy, too.
That reminds me of the movie I want to make with no end, where... Like, it's progressing towards something, and then the main character just dies in an accident. Roll credits.
Okay, relationally. We haven't talked about relational progress. When you know your spouse's or your partner's pet peeves so well, you've made progress, right? There's emotional intimacy there. When you've known them so well that you're able to create new pet peeves out of those pet peeves, is that progress or is that regress? Right? I view it as progress because it's fun.
It is.
It's not mean. These aren't mean interactions. They're goofy, but I can tell they do bother her.
Well, I mean, we're hitting on, right? Like, we're laughing a lot. We're talking a lot. We're getting enjoyment out of this. The thrill of the hunt, the obstacle is the way, right?
Think about hunting. Guys, group is a very masculine activity still. I'm sure there's plenty of women that do it, but mostly a lot of dudes get out there and hunt. It's socializing. They get to socialize. They get to bond. They get to bullshit. They get to do guy stuff and do it uncensored, unfiltered. I mean, how much time is spent out there not achieving the goal? The vast majority of it. You know, professional hunters, they love that and being alone in that isolation, and it's truly a spiritual experience for them. But most of the people I know, it's about the bro time.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because that makes me think about something, which is we all love spending time with the people that we enjoy being around, right? But we always have to have activity.
Oh, yeah. people like us.
Yeah.
Like, not all people.
Well, I mean, let's just talk about, let's say you're planning a weekend together with your bros. Hey, guys, let's get together next weekend. What's the first question?
Well, first of all, the first question, whether people say it or not, it all revolves around alcohol. Everything does.
Well, it does. But that goes back to this. That actually goes back to, well, what are we going to do?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. How are we going to spend our time?
What are we going to do? Like, that, you have to have an activity. And I think the alcohol thing is just like, well, it's a good default activity. Let's consume alcohol, right? Let's drink something that removes
it makes
our
you feel good.
Reality,
yeah.
Right?
Fantasy machine.
It almost like it removes the need for progress versus like, well, okay, let's play. It's almost like there are artificial things that we are substituting for that need for progress, and we call it recreation, right? So whether it's mini golf, what are you doing? Well, we're putting that ball in that hole, mm-hmm. right? And who can do it best in the most efficient manner, all right? And that's basically every sport. So yeah. Let's do that. Let's substitute that need for progress with a fake progress.
Yeah, but alcohol
and get fun out of it.
Drugs do it different, in my opinion.
They do. And so I was going to go to that next thing, which is like, because you do that when you're young, it's games. When you get
older, you're chasing ass, dude. You're going mini golfing with girls or guys, or in your.
Well, yeah,
it's all about the pursuit, man, too. and the hormones. That's what that's about.
That's a goal too. But I mean, now that we're older, married, obviously they're still joking about that in locker room talk. But the goal is different now, right? It's what we have to have a goal. We have to do something. Like, imagine if you were like, "Hey guys, let's get together next weekend." They're like, "What are we gonna do?" And you'd be like, "Nothing."
Well, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's where... then
Nobody would come.
But then they differentiate friend levels. We have plenty of friends where it's just like, yeah, let's hook up.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you just get together and you talk. You figure your shit out. That's where you have the trust, the intimacy. But when you're building friendships, you're on a business trip. Hey, let's go check out this new place.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's a good activity. New spot,
every
new
business
food.
Event, it's like, we're going to talk about business, and then we're going to do... an escape room.
But again,
we're going to do axe throwing.
But it's usually alcohol centered, even with both of those. You were telling me you were just on a business trip that went well, and you used this phrase three times. We went out for beer. We went out for beer. We went out for beer. It was all one thing. But at that conversation, you learned
lots of layers of stuff that you wouldn't had it not been for that magical beverage of beer.
That's true.
Because people's inhibitions get lowered, trust moves up, our ability to connect and trust goes up when we're consuming alcohol or other drugs, not all. But the other thing it does, as a former professional drinker, it was a fantasy machine. And so when people are like, hey, how's not drinking? I don't give this response because it probably comes off pretentious. But what I'm thinking is, yeah, I live really grounded in reality now. And sometimes that sucks ass because there's no ability for me to have some booze and be like, I can be this world famous speaker, this or that.
Yes.
I can go do this. I can do it.
Yes.
I'm satisfied with my progress and where I'm at in life right now.
Yeah.
You can throw rocks at your enemies way easier when you're having some booze and other people want to do that with you because they have the same fears and issues. When you're sober, it's
You
not as fun.
You retain
it's,
your full
fears. You're either working to progress or you ain't, and it's just real clear.
Dude. Okay, obviously, since you've been sober, like, your life has improved in just about every way. And
yeah, but there's plenty of challenges.
Well,
still.
I'm not saying that it was easy.
No.
Right?
No. I'm saying I ain't like some great perfect guy because I quit drinking. I want to make that clear to people. Well, I got plenty of flaws I'm working on.
But here's what I am saying is you're making the game harder for yourself, and so you're getting better than everybody else who is playing with it.
Yeah, I definitely see that. Whenever people, so there's a book I've read recently. Most people will not like it, so I'm not even recommending it. It's for a very select group of people, but if you're in that group, you will love it. And the book's by Tim Grover, and it's called Relentless. He trains the top NBA players of all time. His first client was Michael Jordan. It's just his formula is simple. He's like, I only want to work with people who want to be the greatest at what they do. And it's simple. Where are you now? Clear, vivid reality that Ray Dalio also talks about. Radical transparency of your immediate moment. Where do you want to be? What is your ultimate goal? And then that aligns with the type of training he does, you might get in. What are you willing to give up to get it? And if it's not everything, family, socializing, alcohol, diet, nutrition, you're not everything. He's like, you set your goal, you give up everything. I want your relationships to crumble if they have to, but we're going to get you that goddamn
your own
goal.
Health.
Oh, dude, he's telling these stories about player. I mean, these guys have made the goals, and you know, when they asked Kobe Bryant, hey, when are you going to retire? His answer was, when I get 6 rings. He wouldn't give like a date or a year. It was when I get 6 rings. Like, man, Kobe's focus and MJ's and Dwayne Wade were the three he talked about. But my point is, you make choices and you make major sacrifices to achieve big goals. And you just have to be comfortable with people not only not getting it, but just judging you. And for me, with the booze, tying it back, I just see all the time I get now to not be drinking and to be moving all my different goals forward. And I've seen progress on them all in the last 2 years.
We've talked about this many times, and that narrative comes up over and over again. I want to introduce a new idea. It's true. You have a lot more time because you're not dealing with hangovers and you're being productive. More time is one thing. But here's another thing, dude. You don't have false removal of fear. So
yeah, fear's there.
Dude, it hit me the other, I don't know, maybe it was after the wedding that we recently went to.
Which was Ryan Sparks' wedding. Thank you,
Ryan.
Fanciest, coolest wedding ever.
Amazing.
It was. If you get a chance and you're in St. Louis, folks, go pay whatever it costs to go see the light show at Union Station Grand Ballroom on the ceiling. It's unbelievable.
And there's so much going on at Union Station right now.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Next month they open an aquarium. They've got a big the St. Louis Ferris wheel just opened. It's amazing. It's going
because of Ryan. I got to he had my daughter Claudia as the flower girl in his wedding, and so she was in the wedding party getting announced. So I got to watch this 10-minute unbelievable light show with my 6-year-old daughter, and I was mostly just watching her watch it. So I want to thank Ryan for that moment because I'll never forget just seeing her awe, her pure awe. What is happening? It was neat.
That's another thing we need to talk about is experiences being better with those you love and your kids. It's a magical thing. Okay, so anyway, going back to progress. We were talking, so every time we talk about this, it's like, oh yeah, you have more time because you're not hungover. Let's go to the false removal of fear. So I was drinking, and all of a sudden I realized, like, I was feeling really good about myself. I was taking stock of progress, right, that I had made with my business over the past, and the position that I currently stood in, and I was just like, dude, what am I afraid of? I can do this. I've done this for the past decade. Like, and I started getting, like, my ego back.
Confidence.
My confidence. My, yeah. And then I was just like, oh, I'm drunk.
but that's okay if you can carry over some of that to the next day.
It's true. And I did, and I have.
Oh, I'm drunk.
but you get what I'm saying, right? Like,
yeah.
In that moment, I was like, oh, shit. You know, I'm drinking. Like, I need to feel this way when I'm not drinking.
So think about an alcoholic, though. Whether it's somebody like me, you know, that to the outside world, it looked like they had their shit together. But inside, you know, it was just fucking crumbling in every way. Or to somebody that's really made it low in life and went down the ladder to kind of gutter drunk, if you will, that Hollywood hypes up. They're not drinking. Well, they're drinking because they're addicted. But when they're drinking, they have fantasies. They don't view themselves that way. They view themselves in a totally different light. You know, and so they're hiding that fear. Fear, what's that acronym for fear, do you know?
F-E-A-R. False emotions appear real, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So false evidence appear real. I've switched it. For me, it's false evidence affecting results.
That's totally tied to progress.
That's
I love
right.
It. I
that's
love it.
Right. But that's what it does. You get caught in a fear cycle, and it just it halts your progress. So for me, think of progress like this. This is getting in a little bit to my change challenge, but we can talk about it. Venn diagram your life out. Venn diagram the spheres. Draw the bubbles. Spiritual sphere, emotional sphere, personal sphere, or friend sphere, family sphere, work sphere, fitness sphere, whatever the spheres are that are important to you, financial health. And then just start asking, okay, where am I making progress? And be honest, because if you're making progress in some of those, you're either digressing, which is sidestepping, or regressing, backsliding, in some of those other ones. And you have to live with that and own that choice and those consequences and just say, okay, well, then how long do I want to progress here? And then maybe let's switch focus and try to progress over here. Because you can't do it all at once. And I don't care what fitness all-star or what new pills being proliferated or what academics telling you can intellectualize your way out of the box. It's horseshit. You've got to choose your focus on where you want to be progressing.
That is an awesome exercise. It reminds me of the old Nintendo 64 game we used to play. Was it NBA Jam where you could build your own character and you'd give them attributes, right? And in that exercise, you had to choose, right? Like, I want my guy to be really tall because then I'll be able to have rebounds and dunk over everybody. But if I put too many, you know, too many checks in the tall box, then I don't have enough for speed. He's super slow now.
Right.
And you had to make those decisions. And it was like forcing you to be like, okay, well, I want him to be bad in this area, but good in these areas. Because you can't be good in all the areas. You only have so many resources to fill those boxes out. That's your life. That would be an awesome exercise to, like, formalize. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, lots of life coaches have exercises like that. It's a good one, but to me, we're talking about progress. So you need to just – when those NBA stars are working with Tim Grover, I forget his company's name. It's like Elite Athletics or something like that. He's making them see up – they can't even begin to work with them unless they formalize, hey, buddy, you're missing all your family get-togethers. Like, to work with me, it takes – total commitment. But when you work with him, you have 24/7 access. He'll fly anywhere in the world because he does a lot more than just that. He does like coaching, and they trust this guy, so they bring him all their problems and all their mistress issues and all that shit. But it needs to be formalized. But that's scary, because that's real fear. That's looking at yourself on the canvas, looking at the story of your life
and how in charge you have been, how much you've been the protagonist versus the friend in the story, or the bad guy, the antagonist.
It's so funny because it's part of the way that I would talk about what it's like working for the Big Four, or at least the way it used to be. I don't know.
Clarify what that is for people that might
not know. The Big Four accounting firms, PricewaterhouseCoopers, PwC, Ernst & Young, KPMG, and Deloitte. You know, they're prestigious places to work. If you're in IT risk, it's something that you want on your resume. Anyway, but bottom line is, I would always say, like, all you have to do is give them your life, right? Like, everyone's going to make partner. When you start there, you're going to make partner, right? Because that's the whole idea. You're going to be at the top of that pyramid someday, and everyone's going to do it. And if you don't, then you're out, right? It's up and out. And all you have to do to make it to the top is just give them your life. That's it. The rest. And it was like, when I went through that and, you know, working 60 plus hours a week and mandatory busy seasons, traveling away from people I love for weeks at a time, flying to Alaska, stuff like that. And I was like, oh my God, like, is this what I really want? You know what I mean? Cause I didn't know going into it. I wasn't thinking in these terms going into it. Like, what are the things I'm giving up to achieve this?
In your 20s.
Yeah.
That's why they recruit that way. Just like the military, you recruit young, hungry, ambitious, pliable, fit into our system. Here's how it works. Don't question it. Just get in and tread hard.
Yes. Yes. And it was a lesson I learned without actually being able to verbalize it in the terms that we are now, you know, but just looking back, that's exactly what it was. It was like, no, I'm not willing to give up, you know, the time with the people I love or whatever. So, no, this isn't for me, you know.
I wonder how many people on their deathbed actually, because there has to be some, are like, I know we love the AARP article that says the majority of people they surveyed, you know, I wish I would have worked less. There's got to be people out there that are like, man, I should have worked more. I should have worked harder to get, I should have given more of my life over to become partner at XYZ firm.
Everyone. I mean, almost everyone is going to have those regrets in some way, shape, or form, I would imagine. So I guess what we're talking about is finding a balance, but, you know,
Which is a myth, man. I just, be a balanced life. There is no equilibrium where you get there and it's just, I'm there. No, because then there's always something else on your Venn diagram that you can be working on.
Yeah, what I would say is, oh, man, I lost my thought. I had a good one. Which is, it's basically this, what you were talking about. When you're on your deathbed, right, one of the top regrets that we've talked about in the AARP article is, no one ever says, I wish I would have worked more. But Zach's like, I bet some people say, I wish I would have tried it this harder or put more effort toward that.
Mm, yeah, good distinction. Yeah,
of course.
What else? Progress. I mean, I have something on my notes, simplicity, complexity. And I'm thinking about, this is for any kind of human system, whether it's a one-to-one interpersonal relationship, husband, wife, friends, cousins, whatever, or a business, an organization, nonprofit, for-profit. Simplicity. Things start, and they're simple. They're pretty straightforward. And then over time, they become more complex and convoluted, and issues emerge. So what is complexity progression from simplicity? And then, but what happens over time, business-wise? Oh, we're too fat in the middle. We're too complex. Now we need to simplify. We need to restructure. No, so it's a continuum that never ends. Simplicity, complexity, simplicity, complexity, which becomes part of that infinity symbol. And so is the progress just being out there with the ice skates on and just moving?
Perfect segue to where my mind was going next, which is, you know, if we're going to talk about death and the end of life, right? Now all of a sudden we're starting to talk about progress in the bigger sense. And you just asked, well, what is that progress? You know, simplicity, complexity. At the end of life, everything gets really simple.
Yep.
It's because, why?
Well, I can't speak to that, but you can.
Yeah, and I've talked about this.
You've almost died.
I've talked about this before. Why? Because you get pulled out. Whenever you get pulled out of the weeds, when you get pulled out of the bullshit, and you just get to look at it as an outsider, because now you are an outsider, right? Why are you an outsider? Because you have no career. You're going to die. You have no goal.
Status. You're going to die.
Flies away like a butterfly.
You have no reputation. You have no... You have one thing, and that is, what happens after I die? That's it, right? That's your only fear. All of a sudden, you're not afraid of an accident because you have to accept what is happening to you now. You're not afraid of not achieving because it's a foregone conclusion. You get pulled out of everything, and everything gets really simple. So here's a crazy thing that has become, I don't know if it's a bit of wisdom that I got out of that, or if it's an affliction because it runs in conflict with everything that we're talking about and everything that is valued by America and Western society, which is like, I have clarity and I know that I will be in that spot again. So working, you know, the 11th hour, the 12th hour of the day and being like, well, I just got to keep pushing through to get this done, whatever, when I know the ultimate end is that, can be difficult. It can be a difficult thing.
Man, that's profound. There's nothing I can't progress from that, Dave.
Well, if you're asking about
that's the end cap.
Yeah, so we're talking about infinity, right? We're talking about something that is bigger than us, right? And what are we a part of? What is bigger than us? What is next that we don't know? When we get down in these weeds, just understand, every little thing that you're afraid of or you're consumed with now or that you're trying to achieve, it is that. It is down in the weeds. And you will get pulled out, and you will get to see it from the outside at some point. It's going to be it's a crazy thing, but that will happen.
Which gives you a totally different view of progress. Now you have a retrospective view where you can look back and say, did I make progress? And that's where those fears would come in on a deathbed. Man, you know what? I gave up too easily on this thing, or I didn't achieve this goal that I wanted to. And you know what? I could have. And no, God, that would be a terrible thing, dying, knowing that you didn't give it your true all. You didn't leave it on the court, so to speak. And truly knowing that, and all the bullshit and rationalizations that you gave yourself and you gave other people that you used to verbalize are gone. And now it's just you and the fact that you didn't put forth your A game. That's got to be terrible right before you die. And maybe that's one of the reasons I am the way I am, because I don't want that feeling. I never consciously think about that, but it could be up there somewhere.
Yeah, and let me put a little bit of clarification to that. Your A game as it pertains to what you valued. Your A game as it pertains to the relationships you had appears to be a theme that happens a lot. Your A game as it appear, you know, I didn't give it my A game. Yeah, that's exactly right. Interesting. Okay, so now let's talk about the next thing that I want to talk about, which is, all right, so let's say we take the notion that we're going to get sucked out of our life, right? Our life is this, like, thing where we're trying to achieve our own goals and have our own experiences, and at some point in time, we're going to rise above it and look back at it and go, wow, you know, like, did I do it right? Did I do it wrong? Because it's an inevitability. The same thing is happening with the human organism, right? So if you think about us as part of a bigger whole, as the human organism, we're progressing towards something as well, right? Or at least it sure seems like it. And we've talked about this idea of, like, why is it that we keep building complex systems, processes that ultimately end in technology, which is an effort to simplify that complexity, right? What are we working towards?
I just sent you that Viktor Frankl quote, and you never responded to it.
All right, let's talk about it.
This is one where I am conservative about, and that is, I will never allow technology to be implanted into my body. Now, I'm not talking about, like, screws or something if I have to have surgery to hold my bones together. I'm talking about computer chips, AI, things like that. And we're going there. I'll just start reading about what technologists are doing. Check out the Gartner hype cycle. There is crazy technologies that exist today. They're just not proliferated to the masses, and they're not mainstream. But to me, what I conserve is my ability to fully and 100% fundamentally choose my emotions and my attitudes and my responses, and not have a computer hooked into me helping that. To me, that's pure freedom. That's the last plateau of freedom that we have as humans. And Viktor Frankl, who Dave always quotes, he had a really nice quote about that that I sent him a few weeks back, talking about the one realm of human freedom is the man and woman's ability to choose their attitudes and emotions. And once you start infusing AI, and they're going to have all beautiful marketing rationalizations for why it's better. Do you want your kids to be the slower, dumber kids? I don't care. I'm never doing it. I'm ultra conservative there. I'm going to die a human organism and not a cybernetic organism. So to me, that's conservative. That's not, and I know society as a whole is progressing.
It is.
And I'm choosing and living with the consequences to not be part of that.
Okay. Okay. Yep. It's weird. I mean, there's so much to talk about on that subject. Like, okay, well, so enhancement's not okay, but, you know, saving your baseline is okay. At what point are we enhancing ourselves? Were we not when we first started taking penicillin instead of just letting ourselves die? You know, like, anyway, but okay. Okay. You know, we wear shoes with, you know, polymers in them that make us perform better than if we were just barefoot. Is that not enhancement itself? What, at what point in time?
I just said I will not have a computer chip or any form of AI implanted in my body ever. 0% ever.
Okay, so that's your line.
I'll blow my head off in the doctor's office if they try to do that.
What about CRISPR? What about if they change your... They can change your genes to eliminate disease.
I'm good. I'm enjoying my life. I'm gonna tap out at 78. 78 to 80 is my lifespan. So,
but what if it would like increase your performance in
business? Excited to see what's next. I'll check out what's next after this life.
What if it's not longevity though? What if it's performance? Like, you'll achieve better because we're gonna change your genes, which is gonna improve your IQ. You'll learn faster. You know, you're still gonna die at 78. But here's you won't age, and then you will die at your natural age, and you'll do all your aging in the last 2 weeks. It'll allow you to achieve much more, right? And there's nothing computeristic about it. All we're doing is we're using medical technology to change the order, the sequence of your DNA.
So you're using chemistry then.
You'll just be a human. Yeah, it's chemistry.
I'm good. I'll pass.
Okay. All right. That's interesting.
And there's 0% chance that's going to occur in our lifetime. 0% for someone in my socioeconomic status.
Well, yeah.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. You're probably right.
So I don't need to spend a second later worrying about that. Now, if I'm worth tens of billions. So, okay. Why isn't Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, why aren't they worried about that stuff and talking about that? They can buy any kind of medical procedure. They're not the ageologists and the futurologists. Why not?
I don't know.
Well, to me, that says something. If those guys were about, they're about progress in the infinite fold, you can't find an article where those guys are talking about that shit. So that, to me, that's interesting.
There was a huge, just a side note, if we're talking about progress. So CRISPR is the technology that they are using to edit genes. Think of it as whenever they map the human genome, that meant that they could play the cassette tape, right? So your human genome is a cassette tape, and we all of a sudden built technology to play it, and we know what the human genome is built out of. So we can inspect your DNA and see what genes you have by playing the tape. CRISPR now gives them the ability to record over that tape, so basically to change the sequence of your genes. And it's getting better in the way that they deliver it. Like, in the past, they've had to figure out, like, how do I do that? And one of the ways that they figured out to do it was by giving you a virus, because that's what viri do. They mess with your DNA in a cell. And so they would use that as a delivery mechanism. I don't know what the news article was, because I just saw it, and I was traveling and busy with work, and I just saw the headline, and I was like, oh, wow. Basically, they made some huge leap with their ability to use CRISPR to change your DNA and make it more targeted so that they aren't impacting areas that they didn't want to. They can literally focus in on one area. I think that it's amazing. It's a little bit scary. If we're talking about progress and conservative
just
versus
go watch
change,
the movie Gattaca, folks. Yeah. Read the book Brave New World. Watch V for Vendetta. Watch Gattaca. That's where we're going in society.
It's true.
And Dave's used the word they like 50 times already when he's describing this. That's my problem with it. There's always a they, and they own that information. They will own your identity. They will
like, then what is you? What is yourself? It's going to be owned. They're going to put that in legalese. They're going to own you, basically.
I hate to say it, man, but they already do.
Yeah, but not. And I'm not just not talking about my signature.
No,
like
I'm
that.
Not just talking about Google. I'm talking about like fault the narratives that we all accept. It's better to own than rent. College education is good. Like they own you in so many ways.
But don't
you
see
know.
In this conversation because you're constantly pushing me to try to jump to your side of the fence on that. I am not in that. The vast majority of this, I am an outlier on this. I will die a human. I get it. I'm a weirdo. I'm a relic, if you will, in how that works. And you're constantly trying me to jump onto the progress side.
I'm not trying to convince you. I'm trying to.
Yes, you are. No. You just went through. You have polymers in your shoes that make you perform. You just went through like a whole series of things trying to convince me. The best word would be convince. You're already doing these things, Zach. That's what you were. That's what that line of reasoning was about.
I'm not trying to convince you. I'm just pointing out that you already are.
Yeah, exactly, Dave. My point is, I am already making the conscious choice to not go with that crowd, and you're just swimming with it. But it makes sense because technology saved your life already.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's easier for you to make that decision because you wouldn't be here if science and technology didn't help you out. So to me, that's a natural step to be like, oh, shit, yeah, implant this thing in my brain. Like, it's easier for you to
accept. That's 100% true, but I just know that it is also true that it doesn't matter who we are. If we're living in today's modern society, we have to recognize that we're standing on the shoulders of those who came before us. I mean, you won't have computers implanted in your body, but you use one every day, and you're way more productive because of it. And there were people who were like, I'll never use one of those damn things
because
that's going to be, you know, whatever. It's going to make you a slave to the whatever. And they are right. The fact that everyone carries around a laptop and a phone right now makes them a slave to something. But all I'm doing is pointing out the fact that, yeah, one more step down that road, like, you're not noble because you don't take that next step if you've already taken the three steps that preceded it. That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay. Well, when your family becomes robots, I think we'll, as Gary says, there are friends for a reason and there are friends for a season, and our season will have passed at that time, my friend.
Okay, my family's going to become robots.
Ponders are choosing to be robots.
So, as we talk about progress, right? I think this goes back, and I think two things. I wanted to bring up the idea of what is the human organism progressing towards, and I don't understand what it is, but it seems like we're progressing towards something, which is nuts. And then I also wanted to loop back to my other idea, which is it all just going against nature and the universe? Like, if why does the universe tend toward entropy, and why do we as humans want to fight against
entropy? But again, that's our human mind. Our human mind conditions everything. So we are the ones that have conceptualized entropy and chaos as negative. We've invented negative. We're the inventors of negative. Why is chaos negative? Well, because humans don't like it, and we say it is. That is clearly the way the universe works. That, to me, that's the equilibrium, the positivity, the charge of the universe is chaos, or what we label chaos. To the universe, that might be chocolate ice cream.
And so what I would say there is, like, maybe what I'm trying to get to, maybe it's way more simple. Maybe it's just you have progress. The desire to control and change things, or you have the opposite of progress, which is just letting it be.
There it is. Everything gets back to power and control, finally. Humans choose order. I'm eating a candy bar in my bedroom. I just throw the wrapper on the floor, right? Power is you throw the wrapper in the appropriate receptacle. That's power. That's control. Entropy, what we label entropy, chaos, is just throwing it on the floor and accepting it in that moment. But I believe humans want order because it's about control and power, and then how that makes you feel. We know at some level we're so tiny and inconsequential in this huge universe. So if we can create systems and structures and rules and playbooks and norms for what's accepted and what's not, and that creates order, and that makes us feel good. Now we have a sense of control, like we're important in this universe, when we're probably not.
I don't think we can end on a more powerful thing, because that ties to religion.
no, there is, there, we have a purpose, we, design, intelligent design, blah, 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 you know, versus no, no, it just is, right? Like, and we can't, it, we can't accept that. It's, it, it manifests itself in everything we do. I remember, I mean, they're talking about, I read a, I don't know if it was Michio Kaku who was talking about it, but this was fairly recent. In the last decade, I believe, they were able to calculate all the mass in the universe and determine what is going to happen, right? Will the universe, like, collapse back in on itself? Will the pull of gravity from all the mass in the universe cause the expansion of the universe to reverse and pull back into itself? Or will it just keep going outwards forever and basically all the stars and the gases and everything just burn out, right? And the scientific community, at least from what I read, most of them, and I would think this is a condition of human nature, were all hoping it would pull itself back in, because then there was this theory called the oscillating universe. The universe would eventually collapse to a single point, and then, boom, the Big Bang could happen again, right? And then it would go outwards, and then it would get pulled back in, and boom, the Big Bang would happen again, and so on and so forth, and that's the way it will go on forever. Everyone was hoping that's the way it was. Well, at least, you know, as I read it a few years ago, the calculations came back. Nope, it's just going to keep going out faster and faster. Stars are going to burn out, and everything's going to get dark, cold, and empty. Like, and everyone was like,
sounds great.
Shit.
Yeah, but to me, I'm not a scientist, so I can't worry about any of that. I can't make any dent there.
Yeah, but I just think it's funny because what you said is it's the desire for the humans to put our stamp on it.
To put us at the center of the universe.
Yeah.
Everything we do is for that.
Yeah.
In parenting, in business, look at our current president. He is the center of the universe, of all universes. He's the center of universi. But we all do that to a degree in our own little worlds.
Yeah.
And I just how I organize my desk. Well, this thing goes here and this goes here. That gives me control. That gives me power. I feel good. I've put order to the chaos.
I've achieved X, Y, and Z. Look at my resume. Look at my past accomplishments.
Yep.
You know, look at what I've done.
Progress. So where have you made the most and least progress in your life in the last year? You have 10 seconds.
I've made the most progress with family, with becoming, yeah, with growing my family. And where have I made the least progress? Probably with one of the areas of weakness, or one of the areas I feel behind, is that I had goals to add some professional credentials, some more letters behind my name, and I haven't done it. So yeah,
nice.
That's how I feel. How about you?
Most progress would be in my health, just choosing sobriety. And I actually, I'm sure a lot of you know us. I keep track of a lot of things, and so I keep track of every day that I'm sick throughout the year. And last year I was sick 2 days, and this year I've been sick very few, probably about 2 days as well. And so I feel good about that because that allows me to be more productive, more progress, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where have I not been as effective? Also on the health front. The fitness side of it, because I was so focused on sobriety and just making sure I could get that journey going, because I knew that that was the spider web that tied to everything in my life. I was not good at lifting weights or doing whatever, just getting out and being fit. I think this is good for me to end on. So I went to a funeral of someone who is an extremely positive figure. They were a coach, a personal trainer, a fitness instructor, a former Olympic weightlifter, kind of a life coach, had a podcast just pumping out positivity content and confidence-building content. His name's Justin Thacker. He went to grade school with me in Belleville. Just an awesome guy. Everyone that bumped into this dude just loved him. He had a huge heart. Well, he committed suicide. And it was one of those scenarios where people did not see this coming at all. And clearly all that content he had been creating was for himself too, and the demons he was fighting that most people didn't know he had. So when I went and attended his service, I said, what am I going to do to honor this guy? And the immediate thing was dive back into fitness. You know, you know you've been needing to. And so that's what I did. But I also knew that I'm 37. I got two kids. I'm involved in a lot of stuff. And I'm not, I just don't have it in me to just start doing it on my own. So I found a way to get creative and find a kind of a coach. And so I did that. And so I've been working with this person who's Dave's brother over a month now. And the progress I have in that 1 month has just been phenomenal. So my point is, even when you think you're, even when life sucks and you're at a funeral, you need to ask yourself, how did this person live? If it's somebody you know and you admired, how did they live in a way that was inspiring? And how can I act differently based on it? When I leave here today, I don't want to just be crying and doing that. How is my behavior going to change? And I live their inspiration. Because if you're not doing that, you're not honoring that person, in my honest opinion. If you go back to your life after you go to a funeral and you don't change any aspect of it based on that person and the life you had with them, I think you're not progressing.
I love that because it introduces the idea that is contrary to what I said earlier about, well, you just get pulled out of the weeds. You look at your life, right? And nothing mattered. And then you die. No. Right? Like everything that you do, it's like the butterfly effect.
Yes. There's an echo.
Yeah. You impact something that will go on forever.
So fitness.
If not with yourself, with others.
Right. So health and fitness are both where I progressed and not progressed, but I made a change to progress. So yeah.
You also introduced something that we didn't talk enough about that I liked, which is the idea of measurement. If you're going to actually progress and have progress, you have to measure yourself and where you stand in that area.
Yes.
Now.
What's versus, your status quo?
Yes.
Versus, your starting point.
Versus where you go in the future. So
very important point with any kind of progress, standing on the scale, where you are emotionally, just how you react to things now versus how you'd like to react to things. You have to have that baseline.
And I like it because I think I talked most of the time with this negative idea of progress, and you ended it with such a positive one. I like it.
Well, I didn't think you came off negative at all.
Well, I was questioning our need for it, and yeah. What, is it a human construct and all this stuff? Well, here's the thing, right? Maybe it is, but maybe it's okay that it's a part of being a human.
Well, the painting the fence, that's an easy one. You got to get this fence done. Well, progress is getting a couple of those blades done. And as you say, as long as you get more than one done and you're further the day two than day one, great. But what about the person that gets in there like, ah, this sucks? Well, what did they do? They shifted that progress focus to progress probably with a relationship or the socializing. And as long as they're willing to live with the consequences of that, well, then, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Cool. Well, change challenges. I already mentioned mine. Do a Venn diagram of the key focus areas in your life. Think about where you want to make progress and be honest with yourself that knowing when you make a choice to begin making progress in one of those areas, you pull focus away from the others and you just have to accept it. You don't have to like it, but you got to accept it because you can't. There is no such thing as perfect balance and equilibrium. And if it does exist, you're there very fleetingly, momentarily, and then it's on to whatever else happens in your life.
Mine is exactly that, except in a different form, not a Venn diagram. Let's replicate the Nintendo 64 NBA Jam building a player attributes with your life priorities. Put down 10 things that are of highest priority to you, right? Give them each a scale of 1 to 10. So now you've got 100 boxes, and give yourself 50 chips to fill those boxes. And put more chips on the ones that you want and see how that takes chips away from the ones that you don't want. And then live your day accordingly.
Nice. I like it.
Okay.
Great. Well, this one turned out to be a fun one. We took very minimal time doing our notes before this. Usually we take about 10 minutes and probably took like 3 minutes and it turned into a good conversation.
I thought it was good. It had some conflict, some agreement.
Yeah, he's a robot, folks.
It was great. Zach's in denial about his
I'm
use
a caveman,
technology.
He's a robot. Awesome. Well, as we say in Life Lab, experiment with life.